Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday, December 30, today and tomorrow, and the year will be over. Thanks to you who have helped us financially throughout the year 2009. There's still time if you'd like to help us to bring our books into balance so that everything ends the year in the black and that we can continue this radio broadcast on this station where you're hearing it and all the others as well. Now, we are looking at that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 concerning the coming of Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I read both verse 6 and verse 7. Of Isaiah chapter 9. And we have seen that in addition to Isaiah's prophesying that a deliverer would come in the form of a human baby, a child is born, and that baby would be the Son of God, given by God the Father, a son is given. But this tells us as well that he is going to be a ruler, the government of the world. Well, it says the increase of his government. The government will be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. And so there's a ruling aspect to this Messiah. And as the Messiah came, and we examine his life in the pages of the New Testament scriptures, we learn something about this capable ruler upon whose shoulders the government shall rest. And we saw in the broadcast yesterday that he is indeed the ruler of the material world, demonstrated by the miracles that he performed, particularly those that had to do with commanding nature, turning water into wine, multiplying the bread and the fishes, stilling the tempest, walking on water, commanding a fish to swallow a coin and bring it to the surface so that Peter could extract that coin from its mouth, commanding fish who had been nowhere to be found, but now to come and to swim into the nets of the disciples and so forth. There are amazing demonstrations of his authority over nature. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, to be sure. But as we examine his life upon the earth, we realize that he's not only the ruler of the material world, but he is the ruler of the spirit world. He has power over the angels. Angels, of course, announced his birth and acclaimed his glory. Angels worship and serve him, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And we see in his earthly ministry that demons must obey his voice. They must do his bidding. They must come out of people that they inhabit. They must go where he says go. They must come where he says come. They must do what he says do. What amazing authority this ruler has. The government, indeed, shall be upon his shoulder. He is ruler of nature. He is ruler of the spirits, the unseen spirits. And he is ruler of both time and eternity. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That sounds eternal, doesn't it? From this time forward, even forever, we read in verse 7. That also sounds eternal. And other texts tell us much the same. Everlasting Father, that is, the Father of ages, the everlasting Father of the ages of eternity. His kingdom has no end. He's ruler both of time and eternity. We're getting a portrait, we're getting a picture of who this one is, this child that is born, this son that is given. He is the ruler of all nature. He is the ruler of the unseen spirit world. He is ruler both in time and eternity, and he is the ruler of life and death. He is the ruler of life. Let's read John 5 and verse 41. John 5 and verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. The ruler of life. He can give life to whoever he will. And of course, he said in that well-known text in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. I can give life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is also not only the ruler of life, but he is the ruler of death. Listen to these words in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, said John the Revelator, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And listen now. And I have the keys of Hades and death. I have the keys of Hades, that is, hell or the grave. Either way, you want to understand that. But I have the keys of Hades and death. He rules over life. He rules over death. That's the kind of ruler we're talking about. That's the kind of government that shall be on his shoulders. It's a far bigger matter than most people realize. It's a far bigger matter than political realms and territories and countries and empires upon earth. He's the ruler of nature. He's the ruler of the unseen spirit world. He's the ruler of time and eternity. He's the ruler of life and death. And he's the rightful ruler of men's hearts. Because his healing miracles, where he healed all kinds of sicknesses and infirmities, were all given to demonstrate his ability to heal the soul. His physical healings demonstrated his ability to heal spiritually. And that's really what's most important. His physical healings that demonstrated that he was, we might say, a physician of the body, was simply to demonstrate that he is really the physician of the soul. He rules over men's hearts. To be saved by this one means to become a citizen of his kingdom, living your life under his sovereign rule, obeying his righteous precepts, acknowledging that he is the ruler over all. Every knee shall bow, Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this child that is born, this son that is given, shall have the government upon his shoulder, but not just the government of some throne. It says of the throne of David. It mentions that in verse 7, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Yes, he will be the ruler on David's throne. That's a throne over a particular territory, a particular country, David's dynasty over Israel. But you see, his rulership is so much bigger than that. It actually just sort of absorbs that, David's throne, David's rule, Israel's territory. It just absorbs that into this vast kingdom that is so much greater, so much bigger. And so he is a vast ruler, a capable ruler, capable of ruling so much more than just a political or geographical territory. And he's also a wise ruler, because our text says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's not a proper name, but name in the sense that this describes who he is. This describes some of his attributes, his character, his identity. He is the Wonderful Counselor, is the way we would say it. The Hebrews would say his name shall be called. We would say he is a Wonderful Counselor. Well, what is a counselor? Well, a counselor is one who has the wisdom to tell you properly how to solve a problem. Jethro was such a counselor to Moses in Exodus chapter 18, a wise counselor who helped Moses greatly in how to rule the nation of Israel in the wilderness, how to carry the government of that nation that had been placed upon Moses' shoulder. And Jethro became a very valuable counselor to Moses. Ahithophel was a counselor to David in 2 Samuel 16:23. Hushi in 2 Samuel 17:14. We read about old men and young men who were counselors to Jeroboam in 1 Kings 12:13 and 14. The young men were not good counselors. The old men were. There's both good counsel and bad counsel. In order to be a good counselor, you have to understand the problem. You have to have sufficient wisdom. Some are misled by bad counsel, sometimes purposely misled by bad counsel. Counsel that is not rooted in truth, in the Word of God, is not good counsel. But you see, this one, this son that is born, this child that is born, the son that is given, is going to be a wonderful counselor, a perfect counselor, the best of counselors, the wisest of counselors. A wise ruler. He really needs no other counselors. He is the ruler, and he is the wisest counselor. Nobody can counsel him with any insight that he doesn't already have. He has it all. This child that is born, this son that is given. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.